as you might have guessed from the reading of the scriptures, this has a lot to do with Mark running in the marathon yesterday. I told him he couldn't have handed me a better event to develop a sermon around than his undertaking a training program and then a running program yesterday. You heard that in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the statements about how God is with us in the journey and in the race that we have in faith. Now, I think there are three things about running the marathon that I'm going to talk about, and that they have a spiritual component to them. The first is that the very first marathon was 22 miles. And they ran from Marathon, Greece, which is in the upper east corner. The runner took off from there and ran down to Athens. And he gave a message to the king that the Greek army had been defeated by the Persians, and that he died. Now, I think that has a lot to say about marathon runners. I understand there were no ambulances that carried anybody off the field there. To begin with that kind of story as an athletic endeavor, I think has some things for us to look at. The second thing is that to run a marathon requires training. Mm-hmm. Over the last several months, when Mark and I would have lunch together or some time together, he would tell me the various things that he was, how far he was running this week and what he was eating that was pasta and good and not his normal Kentucky Fried Chicken and so forth. It is my guess, okay? My guess, and you all can prove me wrong if you want to. But it's my guess that if we took the congregation and went out here on the dirt road and somebody said, go, about 5% of us would reach the road out there that is paved. And from that point coming back, there would be other groups that would stop to talk or have a good, what's just an interesting thing to do. And two steps off the starting line would be your visiting minister, who was saying, it's time to pray, it's time. Training is an incredibly important thing for us in running a marathon or in living our life of faith. It is essential for us not to sit on the sidelines in the run of faith. And then the last thing about marathons that I want to deal with this morning is the fact that only one person wins. I'm not sure that I would have, even if I were in condition, that I would have started the race off with 4,000 people thinking that I could win. I mean, I don't buy lottery tickets because the odds are, 10,000 to 1. When only one person wins, it seems so terribly unfair to all the training, all the eating that you have denied yourself and so forth, and that only one is going to finish first. I think it's amazing in the bridge run around here, the only people who make it in the picture, the pictures who make it into the newspaper are those who won. There aren't any pictures of people further down the line. Now, I want to share with you that we have a runner in our family. And she has educated me that it's not just first. It's the first in your age group. okay? She doesn't tell us that when she was first underage group, that she was 900 from the women thing, but she was first underage group. She talks about her best time or improving her time from whatever the time would be, that she's made some improvement. Oh, yay, that's good. Why are you doing that, child? It makes no sense. And then the one day that she won, or she made it in such a quiet thing, that with such utter modesty about it, that I barely heard that she had won the race. Amazing. If I had won, I would have won. You would have seen me here with a flag on that. Okay, now let's take those three principles about marathons and put them into our life in the context of our faith. We run the life of faith until we die. No time off. There's no break because you've reached 50 or 35. You run the life and the race of life from the beginning to the end. And we can't get out of it. When I worked for hospice, one of the big issues with many of my patients that I would come to see, and they would say, oh God, the preacher's here, I'm going to die. they would want some kind of catching up, because they had let things drop off way back here. And they needed to get it caught up before death got them. But the training and the running for the marathon of faith is that it begins here and we add to it as we move towards the end. It's true that when the tough is really on us, that we are straining, and there the best part of growing takes place. Now, the second part of this is the element of training. When I was a Navy chaplain long ago, the very first ministry following seminary, I had a flotilla of destroyers. That's five of them. And they were scattered all over creation except for the one that was tied up next to the destroyer tender in Newport, Rhode Island. So I would run down to that little ship down the stairway from the big ship and visit with those people and, you know, so forth. They were, I don't know, this may not make any sense to you, but they were half on and half off, meaning half of the personnel on the ship were on vacation and away, and the other half were making this ship tied up function. I was down in the lower quarters when the blast came over the speaker and said, "Chaplain, get to the captain's cabin immediately." Now, when that call comes off, I mean, I ran faster than I normally run when Barbara calls me. I took off running, and I got there, and knocked on the door, and the captain said, "Come in," and there stood one of the most woebegone sailors that I have seen in my entire career. Head was bowed, hands held. The captain related to me an incredible number of faux pas that this poor seaman had made financially. Utter ruin, debt beyond belief. Wife had left him. Family had outcast him. His shipmates wanted nothing more to do with him because all he could do was cry or moan and groan. And all that story is this next two lines. the captain said to me, "You're close to God. You take him and see what the two of you can work out." It occurred to me that if the captain had been practicing his faith, he could have done it. And that blessed to me.
Amen.
Training in our life of faith is here in the sanctuary with those who have joined us in the fellowship here. It's not watching television or a televangelist at home on Sunday afternoon. I don't want to encourage this idea with you, but if, when you're watching it Saturday after Sunday or Saturday afternoon, you get up and go to the refrigerator and get a Coke or something. I don't want you to do that either. Even though there are refreshments on the day, don't get up and leave. Training is an element of singing hymns, of praying, and of working together for the sake of the church. There is a list about Christmas families. I think there are nine families on that list. Mm-hmm. And not one of us has picked one of them up. We've got to reach. The training there is, you know, to work for how Christian faith can help us. You know, one of the things that I'm working on, and you've heard this from me a number of times, which says it's still a work in progress, but I am working very hard not to lose my cool with bad drivers. Now, I'm not near as bad as I used to be. But I have been working like a runner in the marathon to cut my bad response to bad drivers back down to maybe 3 or maybe 0. And that takes work. Mm-hmm. That takes practice. And lastly, in the scriptures, it is read to us that the Lord is with us in our race and shall renew our strength. That he will lift us up upon the wings of eagles. And in his love and in his care for us, we shall win.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful for those who run, for they are an example to us of the process of faith for us, where you renew us and we grow faint, but you lift us up. In all these things, may we know of your presence with us.